over to Paul. Yep.
It's good to be with you tonight. Do you realise that you're looking at a miracle? Because I'm here tonight. I left Israel yesterday, and for some reason, I got to the airport 5 hours early. So I was in the airport at 10 o'clock, and as soon as I got to the airport, I started to go on my iPod, and the news started coming through, and my friend sent me a message saying, "We have coronavirus in Bethlehem, and it's at the Angel Hotel in Bejala, so just the other side of Bethlehem, and George has tested positive for coronavirus." So my friend who I play football with has tested positive for the coronavirus, and I haven't played football with him for a long time. But this is my friend Elias telling me, and he played football with him just recently, 2 days ago. So he's gone into isolation as well. So it's a miracle, because then they closed the checkpoint, so nobody could come out. And the thing that I've been worrying over the last few weeks, I'm not worried about getting the virus. It's just a virus. What I've been worried about is, well, I've got preaching engagements. I've got a radio interview. It's my dad's 70th birthday. I'm on holiday. I'm technically on holiday now. So I came into London last night, and it's the start of my holiday. I've got a week's holiday in London, and then I'm off to Birmingham. So I'm like, I don't want to get the virus, and I don't want Bethlehem to get the virus, because if they do, Israel surely will close the checkpoint to stop people from going out and working in Israel. And the time that I got to the airport, I got the message to say they got the virus, and they closed the checkpoint. So I'm very, very pleased to be here. Got out just in time. Otherwise, if I'd been a little bit later, then I wouldn't have got out in time. I probably would have got stuck. There's some American tourists at the moment. They are stuck in Bethlehem at the moment. So pray for the Christian community, particularly in Bethlehem, because it's going to be a very, very difficult time. It's going to be a very, very tough time for them at the moment. My friend Elias told me that there's nobody on the streets in Bethlehem, and they are scared. I don't really think there's a need to be scared, but they are scared. If you don't know Jesus, you are scared because you don't know where you're going. So pray for them. We continue to do the work in Israel, in Bethlehem, and it's really exciting. We're going into the schools still, and we begin to develop and add more lessons in the schools, which has been exciting. We're doing another kindergarten in the Anglican school. And we're also doing Makor Tikva, which was the Messianic Jewish school. We're now doing the older kids as well, which is always a challenge for me, because I can do anything with the little kids. You ask me to do a story, and I can read a story off straight away without any preparation or anything like that. But when you get older kids, you have to start preparing and sit down and write some notes and have something ready. So that's been the start of a challenge for me to be able to do that. But it's been a good challenge. To think of how can you communicate to people maybe 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age. So that's been a real blessing just to be able to do that at Makor Tikva. The Anglican school, it's always very saddening sometimes at the Anglican school, because they have teachers that once they're there for 5 years, that's it, they have to leave. And we're seeing our head mistress looks like she's going to leave. And she's just been absolutely amazing. Sometimes I feel like I'm in Sunday school. When I go in and do a school assembly, I'll go in, I'll do the school assembly, I'll tell them a story from the Bible. We try to put a bit of humor, a bit of comedy into it, and the kids really love it. And then as soon as I go off, she's got a song playing ready. And, you know, "We love you, Jesus," all these sort of things. These are the kids that are from diplomatic families and all this sort of stuff, Arabs and Jews. And they're here in a school, and they're praising and worshiping God. And it's just amazing sometimes to see to feel the atmosphere and see the atmosphere from these little children. Absolutely amazing indeed. And she's leaving. And I've got to say, we have had so many good headmistresses in the school. And just pray that we get another one that's on fire for God, and a Bible believer. Makor Tikva is doing very, very well. They continue to grow and be a blessing in Jerusalem as well. House of Hope. House of Hope is for the blind and mentally ill in Bethlehem. And they have struggled over the years. They got a board. They got rid of the board. They got a new board in. They sold part of a property. It became a huge row. And every time they've had someone running the place, they've run for a little while, then they've got rid of them. And it's just been absolute chaos. And then suddenly they brought somebody new in who's a friend of mine, Salim Zidane. He's probably about 60 years of age. He's the head of the Scouts. He loves the Scout movement. He's a believer in Jesus. He's a Bible believer. And he's came in, and you can see the peace in the school. Before, everybody was backbiting, everybody was jealous, or don't say that to that person because they get very jealous you do that. And it's totally changed the atmosphere. And it's just a real joy and privilege just to be able to go in and share with the little kids. And, you know, they love this. And now they're impersonating me, you know. Well, I sing a song and I go, very good. And then one of the kids goes, very good. And they're taking the mickey out of me, really. But it's just a real joy and blessing just to be able to go into the school. And just to see what's happening with our new director as well is really, really exciting. As part of the youth in Emmanuel Church, which was in Bethlehem, we went to the House of Hope for Christmas and just had a really full time to show the kids that they are special and they are loved. And we went in and we had a Father Christmas come in and give them some toys and give some presents and things like that. We had some games with them, and then I arranged a craft where they got to colour like a little cat in and things like that. So just a real blessing just to be able to go into the House of Hope and encourage these Muslim children who you can tell in their heart believe in Jesus, that God has done something great and something amazing in their lives. It's about a year ago since I came here last. And I've been in Israel for a year because I didn't leave in the summertime, and done so many interviews and interviewed people. I think one of the most amazing interviews that I'd done was a lady called Kay Wilson. I don't know whether anybody knows Kay Wilson. Amazing, amazing story. She was a tour group leader, and she had somebody came in, I think from America, a Christian. I think she came in on the Friday, and she gave her a personal tour, and they were up in the Jerusalem forest, and then they noticed there was a couple of men acting a bit suspicious, and these two men came and attacked them both, and this American lady was killed, and Kay was stabbed 13 times and left to die. And she said, you know, all she wanted to do was just get up and walk to the car so that they would find her body. And she managed to walk and get there, raise the alarm, and then she went into all this thing, and she went into hospital, and she survived. And she's got a great attitude, and just chatting to her and talking to her and hearing her story. And the most shocking thing about it was the people who perpetrated this, they were caught, and they were caught very quickly, and they were put into prison. But they are being paid by the Palestinian Authority. Pay to slay. The Palestinian Authority are paying for them while they're in prison. And actually, that's shocking. Actually, what's even more shocking is we pay the Palestinian Authority. So we are paying them. The British government are paying. Because we give money to the PA, and the PA give a percentage of that money that we give to them. They give it to the Palestinian prisoners. And we are doing that. And this is sort of a theme of what I want to talk about tonight. We need to be speaking to our government. Who is your MP? Do you know who your MP is? Yeah. Have you spoken to them about this? That we are giving money. You don't mind giving money to Palestinians to helping them if it can help them get out of poverty. If it can help them do better in their life and have a better society. But you don't want to be giving money for terrorists. You know?
And there was a tremendous reception from quite a lot of the politicians, and they're on fire to be able to get this through Parliament.
I think Boris Johnson would listen if it was presented to him. I think he really, really would listen. Donald Trump has listened, and Donald Trump has cut aid to the Palestinians. But we want to see our own government doing the same thing. So can you imagine that, to know that you've been stabbed 13 times and survived it, yet the people who've done that very thing are being paid. And they're getting lots and lots of money for it. So this was an amazing interview. I spent the time in Bethlehem before I left burning CDs, because I like to burn CDs with with special interviews so that we can sell them at the back and the money goes to help a project. I brought a whole load of blank CDs. I brought the wrong CDs tonight. But everything that I talk about, all the interviews that I'm talking about tonight, they are actually on YouTube. So if you want to go onto YouTube, you'll find them. You'll also find them on my Facebook page, Focus on Israel Radio. They're there as well. So we interviewed Kay Wilson. Amazing, amazing story that she survived this. Also done an interview just recently with the deputy mayor of Jerusalem, Fleur Hassan, about education. And she was talking about how the Palestinian Authority keeps their own people institutionally poor because they don't teach them proper English. They do teach them a form of English, but not proper English, and they don't teach them Hebrew. So these are people who are in Jerusalem, they're growing up in the schools, and they've never really learned Hebrew. Then they leave school, and they can't find a proper job because they don't know Hebrew. And they're living in Israel, they're working in Israel. You know, and the PA aren't teaching them properly. So then they have to start going out, learning the language, and they've got to pay for it. Whereas if it was in the education and they're getting the proper education, they would be getting it for free. And that's keeping people institutionally poor. So that the people who don't know Hebrew and don't know English, they get all the poor jobs, they get all the poverty jobs, and they don't grow. And it's the PA that's doing this to their own people. She also talked about education, the school books. And in the school books, the school books are actually promoting violence and hatred. One of the main characters in the school books is Dalal Mughrabi, and she killed a load of Israelis in a bus hijack. And I've got the book, the Palestinian textbook. Elias came to my house one day, and I said, "Oh, I'm interviewing the deputy mayor about Palestinian textbooks, and I've got a textbook." So he wanted to see. So he looked at the textbooks and he told me what it said in Arabic, and it talked about how, this person, and he didn't really know who it was, and he said, the Israelis killed all these people. That's what it said. It was blaming the Israelis for the people who had killed. So then I said, okay, well, let's go onto Google and check it out. And he went onto Google, and then on Google, he found the real story. So the story that's on Google is completely different to what it says in your school book. So how much more things does the Palestinian Authority lie to you about? I love it when the Palestinian Authority lie. I really, really love it. Because just recently they said, you know, Israel has no connection to the land past 70 years. So I love it when they say things like that. Because, well, basically what you're saying is every single Christian is wrong. Jesus wasn't a Jew, didn't exist in the land. You know, of course that's rubbish. And of course, they make themselves look so stupid when they say things like that. So I do love it when Palestinians lie, because they do look stupid. So one big issue is the Palestinian textbooks. And she's wanting to deal with this and deal with this problem. Then I went to David Bedin. He was also in, it was a press conference I went to. And David Bedin is also in this press conference talking about Palestinian textbooks. The problem is UNESCO, which has been set up to help the Palestinians. It's the United Nations charity, if you like, that is set up to help the Palestinian refugees. And they are teaching in the schools. They have the schools. They're running the schools and running the education. Which school books do they use? They use the Palestinian Authority school books, which glorifies and praises terrorists. And this is something. Who contributes to the United Nations? We all contribute to the United Nations. We give our money to the United Nations. And again, how are we bringing peace in the Middle East if we are contributing to all these things that are glorifying terrorism? So there is something wrong here. You know, we shouldn't be sending money out. If the money was doing something to teach education that was good quality education, we wouldn't mind helping the Palestinians. But when it's glorifying terrorism, why are we paying this? We need to stop. And then I done an interview with Itamar Marcus from Palestinian Media Watch. And in 2001, they blew up the Shabara pizza place in Jerusalem. I remember it very well because I was about to go to Israel. I was sick and I was working in the book warehouse waiting to go to Israel, but I was having blood tests at the time. Waiting to go to Israel, and they blew up the pizza place. And I knew this pizza place well. And he was talking again and said, I want to do an interview with him. I've interviewed him many times just about the pizza place. And again, he was talking about how the people who blew up the pizza place, their families and the terrorists are being paid by the Palestinian Authority. They're being paid for it. So they go and kill a whole lot of people. A percentage of them were children, and they are being paid for it. And it's wicked and it's evil what we're seeing. America has stopped paying. And everybody criticizes Trump and says bad things about Trump. He's not politically correct. He's just correct. Don't send money to people who are terrorists. It makes sense. And we need to be doing the same. So if I can encourage you today to write to your MP and explain to him, share with him, say, this is what's going on. Why are we doing this? Why is my tax money going towards this? And hopefully we can pray that we'll see a change. Something else as well that's developed is I've been able to write for the Jerusalem Post. It's the Jerusalem Report. So it's the magazine that's linked to the Jerusalem Post. And it came about by accident in some ways. If you remember last year, I came and I told you I interviewed Rabbi Eckstein, who was the leader of the Christians and Jews together. And I interviewed him, about a 50-minute interview, and the next day he died. So if you remember, I told you about that. Well, that was his last interview. So I typed it up and got it and sent it to the Jerusalem Report. And they took it and they accepted it and they put it in the magazine. And I started thinking, oh, well, maybe we could do a little bit more about this. My grandma went to then Palestine in 1935, and my father found a report, a 12-page report of my grandma's trip into then Palestine. So I asked them, would you like this? And I got photographs from my grandma with a water cellar up on the Temple Mount when the High Commissioner was there on the Temple Mount. She went into Bethlehem and she put a spiritual side to everything that she saw. And she talked about, you know, she had a donkey ride in the Kidron Valley and all these sort of things in 1935. Can you imagine it? 85 years ago. And we've got the script, the perfect script of what she wrote. Amazing. I spent a whole day and I recorded the whole lot as a radio show. And it made a really, really good radio show. So we sent that to the Jerusalem Report. That got published as well. Then I went to the Garden Tomb, and they were celebrating 125 years of the Garden Tomb. And this was a real interview, Christian interview. They published that as well. And then I interviewed David Nekrutman for the Fellowship of Christians and Jews, trying to work together between Christians and Jews. They published that. And my latest one, this was a very special one that I went out deliberately. Not so long ago, there was a kid in Makor HaTikva, and he grew up in Makor HaTikva. And I didn't know him very well, and he left and joined the army. I know his mother really well because she was a teacher at one of the schools, so I knew her. And sadly, he committed suicide just maybe about 5 or 6 months ago. 24 years of age, and it actually really shocked me, and I struggled to see things to do with suicide, particularly when they're young people, because of course my friend Nabil also committed suicide at exactly the same age, 24 years of age, so it was a real shock. So I wanted to go to the Anchor of Hope in Jerusalem, who do Christian counseling, and do a special report just about suicide. So we've done that. I had it translated into Arabic, so we put it onto our website as well. And then we've sent the copy of it to the Jerusalem Report to be published in the Jerusalem Report. And we just pray that that would speak into people's hearts and speak into people's lives, you know, people who are desperate and looking for an answer and looking for hope. So that hasn't been published yet. It's been sent quite a while ago, but because there's been so much problems with the elections, they haven't really been publishing other things because they've been publishing stuff about the elections. But we're hoping that that should actually go out very, very soon as well. And just with all my radio interviews, I've just been writing to different radio stations. Would you like my show? It's free. And many, many more stations have been taking it. So we probably doubled the output of different radio stations. So we were doing about 6 or 7. Now we're doing about 13 now, which is just really, really great. And then there's somebody else in Blackpool He's been taking my show. Then he's been sending my show out to other stations, which a little bit naughty because he didn't tell me he was doing that. I don't care, but it would have been nice to have known that. So it's going to Indonesia. It's going to Washington, D.C. So the show is going out, and people are able to hear these interviews. And it's just really exciting to see how God has multiplied that and blessed that, because we want people to understand and know Israel and know the Jewishness of Israel and how God is doing great things. And Israel 1948 is a great thing about what God is doing. The radio station in Bethlehem's doing, it's been doing okay. We've had a lot of struggles with it. And we've made over 120 radio shows for Make a Difference on many, many different subjects. And that's just been a real blessing to be able to do that. I now do a live show every Sunday morning, so you can catch me. If you want to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, you can actually listen to me every Sunday. 7 till 8, we do a one-hour show. And I was thinking we should do a show because the radio has been struggling. It's there and it's been growing, but nobody ever really comes to volunteer. We don't really ever get other people engaged and involved. And we've always wanted something in Arabic, and I don't speak Arabic. I thought, well, let's just do a show. Let's do something in English. So, and then I had a prayer day, and I always say I'm going to do a prayer day in January and get so busy and never do it. And then 6 months have gone by, and I'm like, we still never had that prayer day we were going to do in January. And this time I thought the best day to do it is have my Christmas holiday. Then the very next day we go back to work, have my prayer day on there, because I'll be lazy. I'll be thinking, I don't want to get back to work. And it worked so well. And we had a prayer day. And within that, I thought, I was going to record the show. And I thought in that day, let's do it live. So I get to understand the system of the radio, get to understand and know how everything works, and that's what we've done. So that's what we're doing now. We've done about 9 different shows so far, putting all kinds of things, artist reviews, we have devotions in, we have a cinema review, we get reports from Release International about persecuted Christians around the world, and we put all that in the show. And it's been great because we've been doing it live. We've got people listening from all around the world. So I've got a Christian friend from Australia. He's been listening to it. Then I have an Orthodox Jewish guy in Hebron. He was listening to my show. We were playing Michael W. Smith, Crown Him With Many Crowns. And he's like, what was that song that you just played? So I sent him the link, you know. So you know, we just pray that it opens doors and it touches people's hearts and touches people's lives as well. And it's been exciting. And from that, because I've been doing the show live, I had the courage to go to the youth pastor in Emmanuel Church and say, let's do a live Bible study. So we did our very first live Bible study a few weeks ago. It was the plan was to do it Valentine's Day, but it was a few days after Valentine's. So we done the subject was love. So Fadi came in and he led it. Elias came with his guitar and they sang a few songs. And there was an opening prayer. Fadi led it. And then 2 of the boys would give their opinions about it and talk about it. And it was a whole hour long Bible study, and we cut it just to put a little bit of music to give people a rest. And it was such a real blessing that we're done. We learned from our mistakes because there was a problem. I think everybody brought their mobile phone into the studio, and we got interference coming in. I don't know where it was coming from, but there was interference coming in 2 or 3 times. But we learned to cope with that, and we just had a really great time. And it was just a real blessing to be able to do that. So we want to do more of that, live shows, live Bible studies on the radio. So the next one is scheduled for Easter. If I get back in to Bethlehem, it didn't strike me till tonight when we were chatting in the back that I just suddenly realized, hang on a second, they've shut down Bethlehem. My house is in Bethlehem. How do I get back? So at this present time, I don't know how I'm going to get to my house. So I'm a little bit stuck on that, and I'm thinking, oh, my poor cats, because they're stuck as well. So the cats might be in quarantine as well. So we are going to be hopefully doing another show for Easter as well. We've had quite a lot of problems. The Palestinian Authority, there's been something going on. I think at first they didn't pay their electricity bill. So the electricity keep going off for about an hour at a time. We had there was one show we'd done. It went off 3 times within the show. And when it goes off, we have 5 minutes to change everything up, switch everything down. Otherwise, all the computers switch off because we had a really rubbish battery. The battery wasn't any good. So that's been a big panic. So... And I've left to come here, and if the electricity goes off, I went and bought a brand new battery pack to keep the system running. And then as soon as I bought the battery pack, we haven't had any power cuts. But it's been good, though, because this will keep us on air for maybe 2 hours if there's a power cut. So we need to keep the whole system on air. And if it goes off air, then I've got to send somebody out to put it all back on again. So it's very, very difficult. So that's been a bit of a problem. We've got one problem now where it keeps disconnecting every week. Once a week, it disconnects and it freezes. So we just need, if we reset the night before, everything's fine. But we got to know which night to do it. Otherwise, everything freezes. So just pray for the radio that we'll be able to deal with that. Also, as well, we've been getting more involved with Emmanuel Youth. And it's been really exciting to get involved with the youth. And it's been good for me, and it's also been good for the youth. They've left me in charge of doing a game every week. So what we've been doing a Bible quiz. So every week we have a Bible quiz. We tell them, okay, we're doing the story of Gideon. We're doing the story of David. Then I come in and we do a quiz. And what we do with the quiz, we link it with a game. So we've played things like The Chase on the television. So we've done that. So we'll have Faddy. Okay, Faddy, you're the guy who knows all. So you'll sit there and you'll be the chaser. And then the other person can sit here and you're going to move down the chairs once you get a question right. So we've done that. We've done the £1 million drop where you all have a great load of money and we'll ask you a Bible question. And if you get the question wrong, you lose your money and things like that. One of the good ones we've done was I bought a cheap toy gun. And when you get the question right, it gives you access to the target and you've got to shoot this little target. And I found out that I will make the best terrorist, and all my Palestinian friends, they're useless. Not one of them could hit the target. I hit every single target, and not one of my Palestinian friends could hit the target. So Israel has no need to worry, because they're absolutely useless at shooting. But I will make a great terrorist, so that's what I learned about that. So it's just been really great just to be able to just encourage them. It's a way of learning the Bible, doing a quiz, because you're going through the story as you answer the questions and getting involved, but also having a bit of fun as well. So that's been just a really, really great and fun time as well. We're on YouTube and we're on Facebook. So any of the interviews that we mentioned tonight, they're all on YouTube. You can find us there on YouTube. And Facebook page, we've started running a Facebook page. We were getting at one point 40,000 engagements a week. Then we've had a bit of problem with Facebook because they keep blocking me and complaining and whatnot. So we're at about 17,000 engagements. So you'll see me with my thing, always blogging a story, looking for a story and putting them out just to encourage people about Israel, to get people knowing what's going on in Israel, because that's very, very important that people know about what's going on there in the land. We've got a few bits and pieces at the back as well. There's some wood, which is from the House of Hope. Little bits of wood that Nabil made as well. So there's, just have a look at the back for that as well. Today, do you have peace? Where is the peace? Is there peace in the world today? You look all around. You don't seem to see any. You know, people are so worried about the coronavirus. And my friends in Bethlehem, he said, there's nobody on the streets because everybody's panicking. Everybody's worrying about it. You know, people here, you see them on the train, they're wearing the face masks because they're worried, they don't want to catch it. I've got my little tube of hand sanitizer. I've got to be honest and say, I'm not the cleanest person in the world. I've always had this idea that, you know, if you keep yourself a little bit dirty, then if you get any viruses, your body's going to be used to it. And, you know, that's sort of been my, but even I'm going round. I went to buy a hand sanitizer and I'm carrying it, and every time I come off the train, I'm cleaning my hands with it, washing my face with it and everything, you know. And people are getting worried. In Jericho, they heard a rumor that they were going to be bringing coronavirus patients to Jericho. So they started rioting. We don't want these people in our city. You know, there's no peace, only worry. And people are worrying. You look in Africa, there's a huge swarm of locusts. Of a biblical proportion. And when locusts come in, they strip the land. They strip everything. I think it's in Iran at the moment. I think I just read recently just that it's gone into Iran. And they strip everything. So all your food, if you're growing food outside, you've lost it all. Can you imagine all everything that you're growing? Swarm of locusts come straight. That's it's gone. You've lost everything. Whether it will come to Israel, we don't know. But you'll be worrying about that because that's your livelihood. If you make money out of food and your food is gone, that's it. It's all gone. And they can clear the crops very easy. Unless, of course, you're John the Baptist and you like a plate of chips with them. So, and then, of course, in England, we've seen floods in England, flooding everywhere. And in Carlisle, where I'm from, they were panicking because Warwick Road, it was coming up on the road. My uncle lives in Warwick Road, and he has lost his house twice to floods. And when he's got in, you know, it all comes up, the sewage comes up, it comes to a certain height. They've got to clean all the plaster out, rip all the wood out, put it back in again. It takes a year to get into your house again. And my uncle has been through this twice. Thankfully for him, this time it didn't happen. But other parts of Carlisle were flooded. Hoyke was flooded. We're seeing further south. All these places are flooded. And, you know, it affects. It affects the people personally because they lose their property and their possessions. And it affects every single one of us here because the insurance goes up. You know, is God saying something today? And when God is saying something, he usually speaks to our pocket first. You know, he hits you in the money. He hits you in the wallet. And you then if we wait, God, what are you saying? Are you saying something to me? There's no peace. People don't have peace. And in Israel, there's no peace as well. You look at what's going on in Israel. Rockets coming in from Gaza, putting people in panic constantly. And we've just recently had another rocket attack into Israel. Constant rockets coming in. And if you have the little thing Red Alert on your app, it tells you when there's a rocket attack. And it tells you where the rocket's heading towards, in what direction. And it flashes on. And then you start getting Jerusalem Post saying the sirens are going off down in Sderot. I-24U start saying, oh, sirens are going off in this area, sirens are going off that. And there's no peace. And the people have 15 seconds to get into their bomb shelters. And I've been down to Sderot. I went with the press office and we went down there. And you can see that all the buildings have bomb shelters in them. And if you go outside the police station, you see all the rockets that have been fired across into Israel. And there's no peace at all. Then incendiary devices on balloons coming over. So if we can't get you in a rocket, we'll send a balloon. And that balloon will come over and it'll have fire on it. And it'll come and land on all your crops and burn all your crops. A balloon was carrying an RPG warhead, came into Israel from Gaza. Car ramming attacks. People just been hit by a car. So you're quietly sitting, waiting for the bus. And suddenly from behind, a car comes and knocks you straight over. And knocks people. Recently, there was about, 14 soldiers were hit in a car ramming attack, you know. This is what's going on. Stabbing attacks. We're seeing that particularly in the old city, Damascus Gate, the Lions Gate area. People, stabbing policemen, people being stabbed. There's no peace. There's no rest. Even though Jerusalem is called the city of peace, there is no peace. Israel and the rest of the world are waiting for peace. Donald Trump just released the deal of the century, and it's been rejected as soon as it's been published. The deal of the century is to bring peace, and it's rejected. Israel has taken it. Israel has embraced it. But the Palestinians, no, 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 1,000 times no, said Mahmoud Abbas. And it's been interesting because I've done two interviews. I interviewed Chuck Cohen from the Israeli point of view and interviewed Muntha Isaac from Bethlehem Bible College to get the Palestinian perspective. And it was very, very interesting. There again, they're on YouTube if you'd like to listen to them. I thought that, you know, the Bible says that if you split the land, God is against you. But when Chuck Cohen sort of explained, they're not splitting the land, they're not losing the land, because they would never have a Palestinian state. So this doesn't create a Palestinian state, it creates an autonomy. And also as well, it's not splitting the land because they would get land, they would gain more land, they wouldn't lose any land. So if it was going to split the land and you were going to lose certain parts of Israel, this would be against God. So in Chuck Cohen's eyes, he sees it as a good thing. Or in his sort of opinion. I just give that out. You may have your different opinions to that. But again, the peace deal has been rejected before it even got off the ground. So can there be peace in the world? Can there be peace in Israel? We know the world is becoming more and more evil when you look around you. It's losing its moral compass. And we see it, you know. All these things that are coming in society today, transgender, and all this other stuff. And I make a comment on Facebook. A man is a man. Oh, well, you're transphobic. And I have had it, you know. I'm transphobic. I'm homophobic. I'm phobia this and phobia that, you know. And it's just absolutely crazy. But you know what? I found out the other day, Israeli researchers, scientists have found out this. A man is a man and a woman is a woman. Israeli researchers have found this out. Now, that's amazing. It's like, wow, it's a shock. But again, if you have an argument with someone, you can actually quote this. Researchers have said a man is a man and a woman is a woman. So this is backed up by research, you know. It's becoming crazy, you know. Even the church is losing its moral compass, you know. People don't know what they believe. And, you know, we don't have a firm hold on the Bible and what the Bible says. And we need to be very, very careful. We need to speak out for what we believe. And at the moment, the church is losing its voice. It's losing its own personal voice because it doesn't want to step on people's toes. But it's also losing its voice because you're not allowed an opinion. And we need to be people who have an opinion and share our opinion. And I go on Facebook sometimes and I make comments. And people could read that and think, oh, you just hate gay people. Why do you hate gay people? Why do you hate trans people? I don't. But I do believe I have a right to my opinion. And I shouldn't be told to be quiet, you know, for somebody else. I don't hate gay people. I love gay people. I love transgender people. But I don't agree with you. But I have a right to say that I don't agree without being told by the far left that I'm full of hate. You know, the Bible says the days will come where they will call good evil and evil good. It's arrived today, you know. But we shouldn't be worried because Jesus, our Messiah, told us these things would happen. We were told these things would happen, so we don't need to worry. We can have peace in an evil, wicked world. John 16, verse 33 says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You will have trouble in this world. So when the prosperity gospel preachers say, oh, you're going to have a great time, God is going to bless you 1,000, just send me your $1 million and you'll be blessed, you know? It's rubbish. The Bible says you will have trouble in this world. If you're going to stand up today as a Bible believer and preach the word of God as the word of God, you will have trouble because you're like that salmon fish that's going against the stream. All the other fish are going one way and you're going the other way. You will have trouble and it will be difficult. But the Bible says, I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in the world than greater than he that is in us than is he that is in the world. We see that there's a slaughter of Christians in Nigeria and the media stay silent about it. But Jesus has overcome the world. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You can't kill the Christian's hope because there's something inside of each and every one of us. There's something there. You know, they can kill my body, but they can't kill my spirit. I'm going straight to Jesus. And we're going to have an exciting time and celebrate. Anti-Semitism and Jew hatred seems to be on the rise at the moment, you know, which just proves and shows that there is a spiritual battle. Why is it everybody just picks on the Jews? Why not a Hindu? Why not a Buddhist? Nobody picks on them, but it's always the Jews because there's a spiritual battle there because the devil wants to destroy the Jews. And if he can destroy the Jews, he destroys the promises of God. If he destroys the promises of God, we might as well pack up and go home and watch Emmerdale. Really? You know? Because we're wasting our time. But we're not wasting our time. There is a battle. There is a spiritual battle. You know? There's the rise of Nazi symbols spray painted in a park. There's the boycott from the West Bank settlements. You know? 1930s, they said, boycott the Jews. Don't buy from the Jews. 2020, they're saying, don't buy from the Jews on the Israeli settlements. It's exactly the same thing, and it's on the rise. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights releases a blacklist of 112 companies operating in Israeli settlement communities in the West Bank to stop people from buying from these communities. You know what? Who works in these communities? Palestinians. They have great jobs there. They're respected, and they love going there, and they have a relationship with Palestinians and Israelis together. You stop buying from those communities, who's going to lose their job? The Palestinians will lose their job. The families will go hungry. We need to buy from those things. I feel really, really sorry for the boycott, divestments and sanctions. I really, really feel for them. You've got to really, really feel for them at the moment. And it's got to be really hard for them at this particular moment in time. And here's why. Israel say they're on the verge of a coronavirus breakthrough. They will get the antivirus, hopefully in a few weeks' time. And I feel so sad for the boycotters who say we should boycott Israel. You know? They're the ones that are going to be wandering around in quarantine with the virus. And all us sensible ones, we've got a vaccine. You know? I wonder what they're going to do. What are they going to do? Are they going to use it? No, no, we need to boycott Israel. Okay, get the virus. So, very, very sad. Israel needs her Messiah because there is no peace. And it doesn't look like there will be peace anytime soon when we have schools named after terrorists. There is no peace. When you have school books that are glorifying martyrdom, go out and become like me, where you can blow yourself up and have 70 virgins, 70 mother-in-laws as well, but that's another story. But that's what they're told. Blow yourself up. When you have a government that will pay when you kill Jews for Palestine, how can there be peace? There is no peace. You're sowing seeds of hatred. I saw a video on Facebook once, and it was this little tiny kid. He must have been about 3 or 4 years of age, and some Jews walked on the Temple Mount, and he got his stone, and he threw it, and it just fell right in front of his feet. But the point is, he picked up a stone to throw it at a Jew. You learn that thing. You learn that. Who's been telling you that you should throw stones at Jews? It's the seeds of hatred. The seeds of hatred are going out, telling you you've got to hate Jews. They've stolen your land. They've stolen your property. You need to hate these people. And it's sowing the seeds of hatred. Terrorist murderers are the Palestinians' honor and crown, says a senior Fatah official. They're our crown and honor to go out and murder people. That's what they're saying. No Jew would be in a Palestinian state. That's what Mahmoud Abbas said. And they keep saying Israel is an apartheid state. Well, if you're not going to have a Jew in Palestine, doesn't that make you a apartheid state? Go figure. Exactly the same, you know. Israel builds a wall to protect itself from suicide bombings, from bus bombings, from pizza shops being blown up, from hotels being blown up. But you can't build a wall because it's apartheid. Even though it protects you. You know, a wall is there to protect you, to keep you safe. But you can't build that because that's racist. That's apartheid. You know, and then Abbas says no Jew will be allowed to live in Palestine. Today, Israel desperately needs the Messiah to bring her peace. But not just any Messiah. He needs the Prince of Peace. He needs Jesus, Yeshua. We need to continue to pray for Israel. God is doing something there. Even amongst the negative, there is some positive. You know, relationships are developing. Netanyahu's doing a great job developing relationships with people. You know, a relationship with India. There's a great relationship with India. Now with Sudan. Sudan has started to come on board. There's a relationship there. And I remember I went to see Netanyahu when he invited us for the New Year's toast. And he was talking about Muslim countries and now starting to warm up to Israel. You know, there's been 70 years worth of hatred. Where has it got them? It's got them nowhere. And now they're starting to warm to Israel. What's the biggest problem, the biggest threat at the moment? It's ISIS going around killing Muslims, slaughtering Muslims, thinking they're doing God a service and killing their own people. And that's making the leaders think, hey, we need to have security. We want to have peace. We don't want to lose our status here. Well, we need security. Who's the best person for security? Israel. So they're warming up to Israel because Israel knows how to deal with security. Also as well, who's the best at technology? Israel is the best at technology. The Israeli mobility app, MoveIt, expands to 100 countries worldwide. Israel made a capsule identifying warning signs of cancer. A machine producing self-clean drinking water out of air and manufactured by the Israeli-based company Watergen, was inaugurated in Gaza. So they're taking clean drinking water out of the air and they've put it into Gaza. Gaza's the enemy. And that's what they're doing. This is Israeli technology. They're not stupid. They know what to do. And they're developing this technology. You know, and the Bible tells us that Israel will be a blessing to the nations. You know, if they get this this coronavirus sorted out and they have an injection that we can all take and it gets rid of it, won't that be a blessing? And it will be a blessing to the whole world because the whole world has the coronavirus. So this is one way where God can use it to be a blessing to the world. And when God does that, that's going to speak into our lives and speak into our hearts what God is doing, you know. God is doing something great. So continue to pray for the nation of Israel. Pray for the land. Pray for me. I don't even know if I'm getting back yet. It was so weird leaving because I'm like, I don't know if I'm coming back. I don't know when I'm going to get back in because, you know, if the virus breaks out in Britain so much more and they ban people from going back to Israel, it could be 6 months before I get back in. So I really, really don't know what's happening. But pray that we're able to get back in. I don't know whether I'm classed as a citizen. They are allowing their own citizens back in as long as they go into quarantine. So although I don't have citizenship, I do have a visa. So does that allow me to get back in the country? And then the next step is to see if I can get back to my house. So all these things are issues. So pray for Israel. Pray that they would develop this vaccine, that it would be Israel that develops that vaccine, you know, and that they can be truly a blessing to the nations. And people will be saying thank you to Israel for giving us this vaccine. The people in China will be well because of Israel. The people in India will be well because of Israel. You know, South Korea, Iran, can you imagine? Should we let the Iranians have the antivirus? But wouldn't it be amazing if Iranians are praising Israel because of the doing that? So we just pray that God would give the Israeli mind the ability to work on this virus and get it out really fast, because it did say they'd be ready in about a few weeks' time. So pray for that and pray for me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are a great and awesome God, holy, awesome God. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Israel, because you're doing a great work. And we can see you behind it all. And we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to move by your Holy Spirit and continue to touch people's hearts, touch people's lives. We pray, Father, for the Palestinians, that they would know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We pray, Father, for particularly the Christian community in Bethlehem. We pray for them at this time under the virus and under the situation. We pray for every single Christian who's in fear today in Bethlehem, that you'd release them of that fear and that they would know you as their Lord and Savior. We pray for Israel. We pray, Lord God, that they would know their Messiah, that as they see Purim coming up next week, they would see your mighty hand of rescue through the story. And Lord, they would see the very same thing today, that you are rescuing them on a daily basis and that you can rescue them from their sins as well. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.